for AM 1290.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Money Talk. I'm Neil Kreisel, and Diane Duver and I are your hosts every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 11, and Saturdays at 6. We're brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending, whose highly trained and experienced team takes great pride in helping people with home financing, offering competitive rates and a wide array of loan programs. Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937. Located on the corner of Olive and Cota Street in downtown Santa Barbara. And Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm in Santa Barbara, providing its clients with the personal care and attention of a small independent firm, coupled with the vast resources of a major financial institution.
How are you doing this afternoon, Neil?
I'm doing fine. And how was your trip?
My trip was fabulous.
You were up
In Silicon Valley for the iPhone 10 release.
I know, and you did a very good speech announcing it. I was very
proud
of you. Fabulous. And you brought home an iPhone 10 for us?
Unfortunately, no. They wouldn't even let me have one.
So do we have a guest? Do we have a guest today?
We do. We're thrilled to have in studio both Rose and Jack Hirschhorn. Thank you for being here with us today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, before we get started, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Equifax breach, the data breach that happened. They announced that there was a data breach affecting 143 million U.S. consumers. So this is the largest data breach of its kind. And unfortunately, it's with a provider that many of us did not sign up to be with. It's a credit reporting agency. And so basically, the hack happened mid-May through July of this year, and they just announced on September 7th that it happened. So, you know, what I want to go over with you is just kind of talk a little bit about what you can do to protect yourself. I would really recommend that you watch your mailbox, the U.S. mail. They should, if your data was compromised, they should be sending you something by U.S. mail. Additionally, you can go online to their website, the Equifax Security 2017.com, and check to see if your information was in fact compromised. And when I'm talking about information here, I'm just not talking about one piece. If you were compromised, it's your social security number, your name, your address, and your date of birth. And those are four pieces of information that are very important. If you are, those are the security questions that everybody asks you to validate who you are. So the real issues are, you know, people will have this information. They could file a tax return on your behalf. And usually if you're doing it fraudulently, they're always getting a refund from you. They could open up credit cards. They could apply to rent homes or purchase homes. And it's really, you want to make sure that you're protecting yourself. So I have a few options that you could do to protect yourself. You can do a credit freeze. So that would entail you calling the three major credit bureaus, the Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. Contact them. There is a cost. I believe Equifax is waiving the cost. It's around $10 a month. So there is a cost to do a credit freeze. Additionally, you have fraud alerts that you could sign up for with the credit agencies. Initially, they'll do it for 90 days, and that is a free offering that they'll do for you. And then there are also companies that do credit monitoring, and usually there's a fee between $10 and $30 a month, depending upon what service. And then there's the identity theft protection, which you have companies such as LifeLock, Identity Force, and IdeaShield, all with a monthly fee. I do recommend that you do something, at least check to see if you were one of those 143 million U.S. consumers compromised. And if so, really go through and figure out what the best option is for you based upon your situation.
Of course, one of the problems is if you're looking to refinance or buy a home and you put a credit freeze on, you won't be able to get a mortgage. So,
well, what you do in that instance, Neil, that's a great point. I meant to mention it, is that you call the credit reporting agencies and tell them that you are looking to unfreeze because you're buying a home, you're doing a refinance, you're buying a car, whatever it may be, and they'll unfreeze it as long as they know ahead of time that you are asking for it. You know, Neil Kreisel, as opposed to, you know, the thief being Neil Kreisel.
So we began with a warning, and one of the things that's just to follow through, is the next two articles we have are also kind of warnings. And
before you start that, I just got a new piece of information that I believe if you're 65 or older, the credit freezes are free of charge. So that's great for our more mature listeners out
there. So 6 years from now, I'll be able to...
I thought it was 26.
So this article is called Private Equity for Cheapskates Like You. And what the and this is in this weekend's Wall Street Journal. And it talks about how it has been impossible for the ordinary investor to participate in the equity, the private equity markets, which have had a superior return over the last 10 years. Although, quite frankly, based on this article, it is not as great as I thought. The average private equity fund has increased 9.9% over the last 10 years, where the stock market has returned 7.5%. But private equity requires a minimal investment, which is usually in the millions. It requires a tie-up, and so it's not for the small investor. So as a result, some funds have been creating ETFs to mirror, in their view, these private equity funds. And quite frankly, I hate to be so overly editorial, I can't think of any crazier investment than this. No, listen to this.
I feel like you're holding back, Neil.
No, but this is they can obviously, you know, when you buy an index fund for the S&P, there's a basket of stocks you buy, which is all the S&P stocks. So it actually is representative of what you're buying. But here, since you can't buy these private companies, they basically buy what they considered to be the kinds of stocks that private equity firms will buy, which are essentially, quote unquote, cheap. They buy undervalued stocks, and they lever them. They borrow 50%. They actually borrow money. So
I think the key here, though, is they're not private equity companies. They have to be companies that are traded on the stock exchange. At its core, it's not private equity. It's a leveraged
purchase of stocks that, you know, one of the ways to look at undervalued stocks is that they're not doing well.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So exactly. Here you are borrowing money to buy stocks that are not doing well. And they say that you can get 200 basis points better return. I'm thinking, why would you take that kind of risk for just 200 basis
points?
Well,
what's interesting is everybody, you know, in the sales literature always talks about outperformance as if performance is the holy grail. But really, you need to look at if you're outperforming, what risks are you taking or unneedlessly taking to get that excess return? There's a price. Nothing is free. So there's a price for that outperformance. And that, you know, you know what this reminds me of, Neil, is that article that we talked about the Black Swan Fund. You know, this is like a Black Swan Fund. No sane investor or no serious investor is going to invest in something like that.
Well, good point, because the next article makes this very sane, and it's called this was also in the Wall Street Journal, and the title of it is Irma Will Test Cat Bond Market. Now, what's the cat bond market, you ask? It is a alternative to insurance. Now, the way insurance works is that an insurance company sells a policy to cover some loss, and the way they protect themselves is they buy reinsurance, which is to say they lay off some of the risk, and they take the reserves from the premiums that they haven't paid out in claims and invest it. And with actuarial tables, they're able to hopefully over a long period of time make money. What cat bonds are a way for investors who are willing to take risk to increase their available yield in a very low yield market by buying into a bond. Now, follow this. The bond, if it doesn't pay a claim on a catastrophe, it just keeps all the money and pays you a high yield. If the bond has if the bond is guaranteeing some group of homeowners and there is a claim, then they pay out whatever the claim is. If it happens to be a real disaster, they may have to pay out 100% of the proceeds in the bond and you lose all your money. So in order to have the right to lose all your money, you're getting 200 to 300 basis points greater than you could get in a bond. It is crazy.
This is crazy. And the sad part is how it was sold to people, I'm sure, was through the yield, because the interest rate on that cat bond far exceeded what you could get in a traditional bond, especially in this market. People are chasing yield. And usually, I always say, if it sounds too good to be true, It usually is, and you shouldn't invest in it.
So as a financial planner, how many of these stories have you heard? People coming in and saying, I've got a great idea. What do you think?
You know, you do have people like that, but at this point, our business is mature enough, you know, people don't bring us these ideas because we tell them they're crazy. And we would never expose our clients to something like that.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
In the Santa Barbara community alone, one in every four people will have a mental health condition this year. Unfortunately, only a fraction of those who experience a serious mental illness, such as depression or bipolar disorder, will seek treatment or support. For over seven decades, the Mental Wellness Center has been responding to the critical needs of people in the Santa Barbara community and their families who are impacted by mental illness, providing support, education, and direct services. We believe that early intervention is key and that recovery is possible at any stage. Mental health is a community matter that affects us all, and that's why we're so committed to building a community of wellness and creating hope for a brighter future. In honor of Mental Health Awareness Month in May, step up for your own mental health. Visit mentalwellnesscenter.org to learn more. That's mentalwellnesscenter.org.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending. Since 1988, a mortgage banker and direct lender that believes in providing in-depth loan consulting to its customers in a personalized and honest manner. And we can be reached at 564-1290.
Or you can also email us at moneytalk1290@gmail.com. And if you're just joining us, we have the pleasure of having Rose and Jack Hirschhorn in studio with us today. Welcome.
Hi.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for inviting us.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about how you got to Santa Barbara. And Rose, why don't we start with you?
Oh, God, after so many years, it's hard to explain. I met Jack in Portland on the street and on a bicycle. And we exchanged telephone numbers.
Oh, what a cute story.
Yeah. So I went out with him once and then didn't see him again. I just thought he was just too out there for me. He tried to pass me off to a friend, and that didn't work out. But we reunited a couple years later and started a long-distance romance and both moved to Los Angeles and lived there many years and then to Santa Barbara.
Great. Okay. Yeah. Perfect. And now tell us, Jack, how you made it to America, because you were originally an immigrant from many places, but share with us.
Well, my parents were from Poland, and in 1939, after the Germans invaded Poland, my parents escaped to Russia, and it was done with what we would call a coyote. They'd pay somebody, and they took them through the forest into Russia. And through a long chain of events, my parents ended up in Siberia in Novosibirsk, where I was born in 1944. And after the war ended, people went back to their countries, and my parents went back to Poland and basically all of their relatives were dead except one. All wow. died in concentration camps. And then they went to a displaced persons camp in Germany. And from Germany, after the war, you know, Canada, the United States, Australia, South America, Argentina, they all were looking for people with certain skills. And both my father and mother were tailors. And my mother remembered that she had relatives in Montreal, Canada, and they were looking for tailors and seamstresses in Canada. And my mother was a seamstress, my father was a tailor, and they got a visa, and we moved to Canada. After living in Canada for 9 years, my mother could not take the cold and wanted to live in a warmer climate, and her one surviving relative from Poland, her sister, had moved to the United States and had become an American citizen. And based on that, they were able to get visas to move to the United States.
Wow, what a remarkable story.
What's even more remarkable is that my grandparents also came from the same area, and my father's father was a tailor. Hmm. Must have been a lot of need for tailors back in Russia in those days. I guess it was the only job available.
Oh! You know, being a tailor worked out really well for my dad during the war, because he met somebody who was an officer, and my dad said to him, "Hey, how would you like a new uniform?" Because he was doing construction work, and the guy says, "I need a new uniform," and pretty soon he's got a room for him, and he brings him a machine, and he brings him all kinds of stuff. My dad made him a new uniform. He was an officer. And then all the officers wanted uniforms. So my dad got a little shop going. And it's a bit of a story. And my dad had been separated from my mom. My mom was in Kazakhstan. Because my dad had been in the Russian army, and then it's a bit of a story. But somebody says to my dad, "You're on the street," says, "your wife is in Kazakhstan, and she works at so-and-so." And my dad got a pass to go to Kazakhstan. And he says, "You have a daughter," because my mother had had a baby. And
good thing for Rose, you came out. He came out Jack.
Then he went down to Kazakhstan, and he found my mother. And while he's there, he got a sack of apples, and he brought them back to Siberia. And this is during the height of the war, and nobody could get fresh fruit in Siberia. And he was able to sell that sack of apples for enough money to buy a log cabin.
Wow.
And I was born in a log cabin.
Like Abraham Lincoln.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Okay. So you were down in L.A. then. Let's jump ahead. You were down in L.A. and you were managing bands?
Oh, yeah. I started in the record business when I was about 19. I used to write lyrics, and then I hooked up with somebody who wrote melodies, and I actually got into the and my very first band, who I thought were fabulous, who I was managing, and I was writing with one of the guys, got a record deal. They got a record deal. The guys were 16 and I was 19, and our very first record got on the air.
Wow, congrats.
It was not a hit, but it got on the air. and I had my foot in the door into the record business, which later led me to starting my own record label, managing bands that became very well known, and building a recording studio.
So that was really your first foray into business?
No.
No. What was your first foray into business?
No. When I was 10 years old, we lived near a golf course, in an apartment, not a golf fancy.
Not the
house.
Golf communities
no,
of today.
No. It's like a like a flat, and I used to go sell Coca-Cola at the ninth hole, and that was my first foray into business. And amazingly, at that time, I made like $10 or $12 a day selling Coca-Cola, which was a whole lot of money.
Right. I'm surprised they didn't kick you off.
Oh, they did. I went back.
Nice. So then what got you? So when I first moved to town, I was a frequent customer of Jack's Bagels, which you founded. How did you get into the bagel business? What was the interest?
Well, when Rose and I lived in L.A., we had a beachfront building on Venice Beach, which we owned. And we started a frozen yogurt shop there, but we really wanted to get into food because to add food. It did become the highest volume frozen yogurt shop in Southern California. It was called the Frozen Rose after
the beautiful Miss Rose.
And I could not get a permit from the city of Los Angeles to put in a hood, which, there's difficulties. And we decided to figure out how to make pizzas from a microwave, which we could use. And from that, we discovered that bagel dough, which is a really stiff dough, could actually work in a microwave if done properly. And we started doing these pizzas. And I Enjoy Bagels, which was a big bagel company in L.A. I became very friendly with them and found out about the bagel business. And when we moved here, there was not a decent bagel in Santa Barbara. And we decided to start a bagel company.
You know, when I moved here and I went to get my first Jack's Bagel, I said, this obviously is a guy from New York. This is a guy that grew up on New York bagels and he replicated it. And it turns out that's not the case. You were just an entrepreneur that took advantage of a lack of a product.
Well, I did. But we also researched how to do bagels correctly. It was different than an I Enjoy Bagel. And my mother's side, all bakers. They were bakers in Poland.
So it was in your blood.
In the gene pool.
Yeah, exactly. And so now with the what sparked you to open the frozen yogurt down in Venice? What was behind that?
Well, we owned this building on the Venice Boardwalk. And my career after the record business was I was a chiropractor. I had a clinic.
Jeez, how many careers did you have? Did you leave any jobs for anybody else?
Well, I'm hoarding.
You were a record label, first a manager, a record label, then a chiropractor.
Yes.
And then you just thought, oh, I'm going to open a frozen yogurt shop?
That's the usual.
We had a building on the boardwalk, and we had this little 170-square-foot space at the front of the building that had an old grandfathered restaurant license. And yogurt was just coming in, and we thought, this will sell. And we opened it, and our very first day, we did $350, and they said, that's Whoopee. A winner. And that story eventually was doing in the thousands per day.
You're listening to
170 feet.
You're listening to Money Talk on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station, and we'll be right back.
It's a fact. Successful wealth management is built on strategies that focus on the big picture, take a long-term view, and establish deep and valued relationships. Hello, I'm Diane Duva, founding partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, Santa Barbara's trusted family guide, empowering you to make more informed and confident decisions. At Arlington Financial Advisors, we bring order and balance to your financial life by monitoring and managing risk so you can focus on your work, family, and enjoying the moment. We are a fully independent firm offering strategic financial planning, estate and tax planning, and private money management. Our plans and portfolios are handcrafted using a rigorous and disciplined approach, supported by a consistent yet highly personalized client experience. Our clients look to Arlington Financial Advisors as a home away from home, a comfortable place to protect what they've accomplished while they prepare for what comes next. Please visit arlingtonfinancialadvisors.com or call me, Diane Duva, at 805-699-7300.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here?
Of course.
Hoo-hoo, Jaskin. I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Sup?
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like. Consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think you would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence. And we can be reached at 564-1290. And we have a caller.
And we have a caller. Hi, caller. Thanks for calling us today.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. So I've been listening in, and I've just been absolutely blown away, Jack, by how many businesses not only have you started, but also have been able to make successful. I'm a recent graduate of UC Santa Barbara, hoping to start my own business soon, and I was just wondering, do you have any tips for new business owners and founders in this area at this time?
I do.
Thank you, Jack.
I think he's looking for a little more than that.
You know, every business that I have done, I have loved doing. There were age-appropriate businesses to where I was within myself, and there were things I would do without being paid. And money followed. There were just things I loved doing.
So your advice is definitely to follow your passion?
Absolutely. And money will always follow you because other people also love what you're doing.
Is this true for marriage also, that you should follow your passion?
Yeah, Jack.
Yes. My wife was love at first sight, and thank God I married my wife because she's turned me around from losing my money, and has pointed out all my errors.
I thought that's what wives are supposed to do.
They are. I didn't know that when I met her.
We're just here to make you all look better.
Okay, thank you, caller.
So on that was a great, we do have this is a community, Santa Barbara, that's definitely turned into an entrepreneurial hub. And it's true that oftentimes people are looking for advice of starting it. What advice would you give them? And that was right on, I think, passion. Is there anything else that you would add to that for a young person starting out today?
I would say Don't have partners.
Right.
And don't overborrow, you know, slug it out and don't quit. You know, just keep your passion going, keep working at it. Eventually if you have a good idea, it's going to win. I would say that in the past, not the present economy, it used to be 5 years to get a business going. And a lot of people quit after a year or 2 years. But you got to keep perfecting it. Nowadays, I would say it's closer to 10 years to really get something off the ground.
One of our guests recently has been a Weave, Women's Economic Ventures, which helps women
start businesses.
Well, and men. Women and men.
But mostly women. Mm-hmm. And the predicate behind Weave is that in order to be successful, you really need someone to help you that has some experience. So was there anyone, was there a rabbi, was there somebody who was there for you to give advice? Other than Rose.
You know, the wife.
Right. Well, I tell people, you know, the person you decide to marry is the most important decision that you'll make in your entire life.
It's your partner. Mm-hmm. It has always been. We've always worked together for 35 years. I would run the chiropractic clinic, front and back office, the yogurt store. We both kind of worked in it, passing out yogurts and strawberries and the bagel company, we both worked at together in the sacred space. So we're a good team. But you have to keep trying new things. And most of them do not work, you know, but you have to try it because you always learn something precious from each thing that you try. You never learn something that you don't use in the future. Never. You always take a gem, a pearl from that experience. And we've had a lot of financial disasters and, you know, time and effort disasters.
So what would you say is the biggest challenge of being a small business owner?
The financial things, getting it going, just watching your money, especially restaurant business. Oh, boy. And building out a space. It costs so much money, especially in Santa Barbara. You just kind of open up your bank account and it pours out. It's terrifying to me. I don't know, Jack's easier with it, but refrigerators and coolers and proofers and, you know, all the equipment that you need for certain businesses is astronomical.
So by leaving the bagel business, you decided to go into a very easy business, which was importing and then creating an environment where people would be attracted to buying, you know, works of art from the Far East, which is just like selling yogurt, I guess.
Right, but we didn't have that intention.
So how did you stumble upon that?
When we sold the business to our partners, and Jack and I took our children, who were 9 and 12, out of school, and we traveled around the world with them.
Oh, what an amazing experience.
Yeah. So we started buying things in Indonesia and China. Our hotel rooms would be, you'd have to walk like down an aisle of boxes. You know, we'd check out and, you know, the bellboys would take down 100 boxes. It was a riot. And we just put it in our home and started that as a trial business. We didn't know if it was going to work or not.
And so now tell us a little bit about the sacred space.
Well, you know, it started in our home. And when people would come to our house, you know, Rose is a great hostess. She would serve them tea. And we had designed our gardens in a certain way, you know, Asian design. And people would walk through our gardens and they'd walk through our home. And people loved what we were doing. And then we would have a Christmas sale. Every Christmas we would send out a postcard and we'd have a lot of people show up to buy from our house. And one of our neighbors, being Montecito, did not like this. And he turned us into the county. And from that, we were actually forced into looking for a retail location. And it took us 2 years to find our location in Summerlin because we had certain criteria. And the criteria were, number one, it's a numbers game. How many people are going to see our location? And our location in Summerlin can be seen from the freeway, which is unbelievable. And we have 100,000 cars a day driving by, and we've decorated it in such a way so it's a little bit eye-catching. So if you were to advertise, say you advertise in a local magazine, maybe it has 30 or 40,000 circulation, could cost you $3,000 a page. How many people out of the 30,000 are actually going to see your ad? We have 100,000 people a day driving by.
Slowly.
Yes, that is a slow. That is a slow stretch. Good point.
Every year, slower.
Thank God. I'm all for not fixing.
Now
the
we know who's behind not widening the freeway over here. So now I think it's interesting to point out that you really designed your space at the sacred space very uniquely, and share with our listeners what your thought was behind that.
It's a copy of our house.
Oh, okay. So it has the gardens, it has the meeting space, it has the shopping space.
And and we have hostesses who serve you tea. It's just like our house. It's our home model. It was working really well in our home. We said, why change it? And not only that, the gardens. I went out there. We lived on an acre, but I took and put plastic tape around the key elements of the garden. And miraculously, they could fit into the small garden that were there, just the key elements. So we copied that because it had the right flow.
I didn't notice that you had in your home people walking around serving tea, but I may have missed that. You didn't have hostesses back
did
then.
You not, no, did you not see Rose
it
at
was
home?
Rose. It was Rose. It was Rose. You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
If you have trouble handling your anger, get help. If someone you love is hurting or scaring you, get help. There is a full-service domestic violence agency in Santa Barbara County, which offers emergency shelter, counseling, transitional housing, anger management, and teen outreach programs. Its name is Domestic Violence Solutions for Santa Barbara County. Call their 24-hour helpline at 964-5245. Domestic Violence Solutions for Santa Barbara County, putting an end to domestic violence.
Did you know that domestic violence sends more than 500 women and children to emergency shelters every year? There is a place where all family members affected by domestic violence can get help. Domestic Violence Solutions for Santa Barbara County, with four 24-hour phone lines to help. In Santa Barbara, call 964-5245. In Santa Maria, call 925-2160. In Lompoc, call 736-0965. And in Santa Ynez, call 686-4390.
There are many sounds in your day-to-day life. There are sounds that wake you up. Sounds that make you smile. Sounds that energize you. And sounds that help you relax. But there are some sounds that can alert you to danger and can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you information about severe weather events, amber alerts, or other emergencies in your area. With critical information from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know, wherever you are. For more information, visit ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937, located on the corner of Olive and Cota Street in downtown Santa Barbara. And you know what's interesting? You talk about how the current location of your establishment is similar to your house, but it really isn't. It's really very, very unique in that you're selling a product that has a spirituality to it, and you've been able to create an environment that's so different from any retail establishment I've been to in America. I mean, there are places like this in the Far East, but you provide a place of almost like a sanctuary, which puts you in the mood to want to buy a Buddha or incense. And so you've really almost like theatrically created an environment that's conducive to your product.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Neil.
That's the show business aspect.
Right. Thank you.
It is. And it's a sanctuary and a store combined. And I think with certain other elements, like at our home, I always wanted, it was always so important to me to treat each person as a respected individual through any walk of life. And we have a huge celebrity clientele, rock and roll clientele, but also a lot of homeless people that we serve complimentary tea to and invite them to sit in our garden.
It sounds like Oprah's even a customer, which
yes, she is.
But a big deal.
But I'll tell you what I find really interesting, because they're not just talking. I was there once when there was a couple having tea, and they were sitting down in a very nice, quiet place, and they left, said goodbye, and you said goodbye with a big smile. Mm-hmm. There was no obligation to buy anything.
Correct.
Which, you know, it's not like, you know, we're going to give you something and we expect you to buy something. So it's very low-key, and I think that's the way to build up long-term relationships with clients. People know they can go there just to relax, and, you know, when they're in the mood, they can come back and buy something.
Where else are you going, Neil, where you can come in the door, be offered, hopefully with joyful spirit and a smile, a cup of hot tea and sit in a beautiful maintained garden and be honored in that way without a dogma? Because only really a church or a park where you're not getting the tea or the service, but, you know, it's really something that people need. You know, especially in these trying, stressful times.
Yeah, the only other person I know that does this is Richard Dugan, our engineer. He invites people to come over to his house. But other than Richard, it's very few people do this.
And so at the Sacred Space, you also have some educational series. Mm-hmm. So share with us a little bit about that.
Yeah, hit it, Jack. You head that one up.
What we try to get, which is very difficult, is speakers who do not have an agenda. Most people have an agenda. So we've lately been doing authors. Hmm. Like we have
Diana Rabb.
We have Diana Rabb.
Meditation teachers.
Oh, great.
We have Hindu, Christian, Jewish, Buddhist teachers and trainings.
What's the Dalai Lama couch? You want to tell us about that?
Hmm. Oh, when the Dalai Lama spoke at
UCSB, I saw him.
UCSB, the organization around him asked us if we had appropriate furniture that he could use. And they picked that bench and some other things we have. And we loaned it to him, and we had to make special pillows and the bolsters and stuff we made for him. So no one else was allowed to have sat on that. And they gave them to us afterwards. So we could keep, I mean, we paid for them, but we could keep them, providing that we don't let anybody sit on them. That's why we have a piece of tape across the bench.
Oh. So now other people could sit on the bench, but just not the pillows?
Right, but the pillows are on it.
Oh, but okay.
But we've been honored. You know, we've had the Dalai Lama's oracle, who is really the advisor to the Dalai Lama, speak at the Sacred Space.
Oh, wow, that is a big honor.
We had 500 people show up.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness. What did you do with them all?
Oh, it was a sardine can.
Yeah,
but you do have a space that has chairs like a theater. Mm-hmm. You've actually prepared for communications with a group of people, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm. And so how do you make the economics work on that with living in a town, in a city that, you know, real estate is very expensive per mm-hmm. square foot? How do you make that open space available for these lectures and series and still be able to pay the rent off the retail?
Well, we didn't build the lecture space for a couple of years. It wasn't in any plan. And then we found that people were suffering and we didn't know how to help them. So we needed to shift that into education. And then we built this with the Burning Man Gerard
Minakawa
helped us build this spectacular roof and huge bamboo from Bolivia space, because it had to be a temporary space because of parking with the city and county of Santa Barbara. So
very creative,
beautiful space. And
how many people does it fit comfortably?
45. 45, but there's a way for, if we open the back up, we can actually seat 65, but we got to have good weather. And it works. We charge for the events.
Oh, great. Okay.
I mean, if we bring in a speaker, you know, it's we get a portion of the gate, and they get a portion.
That's wonderful that you're able to make that work, because I think it's such a needed education about meditation, you know, in this world in which we live, where things go faster and faster, and, you know, there's more, it feels like more and more tragedy. I doubt it's more, but it feels that way. It
right.
could be and that we're coming off hurricane or in hurricane season.
Exactly, and more people feel alone and isolated and not listened to or respected or loved. And it's a space where we try to make that happen.
And this is the right community. I was visiting a friend up in Wyoming, and in the back of the trucks and the cars, there's usually a rifle. In the back of a car in Santa Barbara, it's usually a yoga mat. So you certainly pick the right community.
Now, is the sacred space a technology-free zone?
Cell phones.
It is.
Yes.
We do. There are cell phones. You know, that's another thing I don't like is when you go into a business and there's all these signs, do not touch, turn your cell phone off, this is cell-free zone. I like to respect the people. And, you know, every walk of life, they're at a certain space. And they may not have any spirituality at all and just be oblivious to any sort of consciousness. And we try to drop maybe the little pearl into the ocean and ignite that. And so we try to lead by example and, you know, let people be somewhat
where they are. So you meet them where they are as
right.
opposed to forcing them to come
right.
where you are.
Because I don't want to keep yelling at people or, you know, get your feet off the sofa and you spilled tea all over. And
welcome
you
to
know,
being a mom all over again.
But, you know, I have to let a lot go.
On the other hand, the technology has helped us because people with their cell phones take pictures and put them on Instagram. They put them on Facebook. And it does bring other people. So people are advertising us. So by making it beautiful, it's worked.
And even old
favor.
Technology, you're now on AM radio. Wait until you see how many customers you have tomorrow. You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back with our final segment.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
People's Self-Help Housing is a national award-winning nonprofit organization celebrating 35 years of experience in creating affordable housing and self-sufficiency programs for lower-income families, seniors, and those with special needs. People's Self-Help Housing has helped to create over 1,000 self-help ownership homes and over 1,200 affordable rentals. 400 children annually are served through their K-12 education enhancement programs. People's Self-Help Housing is committed to expanding its core vision of providing housing for low-income low-income families, seniors, and the physically challenged. The organization also provides complimentary social services designed to assist each resident. People's Self-Help Housing believes that affordable, safe, and quality housing leads to healthy communities, which benefit us all. You can help in these efforts to create more housing and related social services by calling 962-5152. That's 962-5152.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial guidance.
And if you're just joining us, we're speaking with the owners of the Sacred Space in Summerlin. And so share with us now, so your original foray into these types of things at the that you find at the Sacred Space, you found when you were touring around Asia, Indonesia. And now how do you deal with the importing aspect of the business today?
We handpick each item in the store, and Jack and I travel overseas depending upon what our inventory needs bulking up in. And we go to Thailand and China and Indonesia, Nepal and India. Did I say everything, Jack?
Yes.
Where we go?
Yes,
yeah.
We do.
But always more countries are added. And we ship them back in containers. A lot of stone items, items of meaning, tapestries, Tibetan furniture, things from Nepal, statuary, jewelry. I design a lot of the jewelry, pearls from China. Before we traveled, I took pearl grading, and Jack took precious and semi-precious stones. And so we had some eyes, really, not to go into precious stones, because there's so many heat-treated stones, and it's very difficult to decipher what you're buying. But
so now how often do you go overseas now on your inventory shopping?
We used to go every year, and now we go every couple years. And things in the shipping world have changed so much since 9/11. You know, the X-ray, the containers, it's a lot more difficult. A lot more expensive. Oh, my God. Just a totally different experience than it used to be.
So are you going to another adventure, or are you, this is it?
This is it.
This is the final adventure?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I don't know. Jack doesn't look convinced.
No. This one we can actually draw on all the things that we have done in our life. We're a bit in the entertainment business. We love entertaining. We love importing. We love talking about health. We've had health speakers, doctors speak at the Sacred Space. And the greatest thing, of course, has been working with my wife for 37 years.
Aww.
Very, very intelligent thing to say.
Well, it's true. It's true because we get to spend time together and build on our relationship. It's good.
And personal growth. I think Jack's and my own, our own personal growth, and together in a relationship with inspiring speakers, books, and that type of business, the Sacred Space.
I hate to get political, but I can't help myself. When we talk about the whole issue of refugees, immigration, citizenship, one has to look at your experience to realize how valuable immigration is, and that it's not only good for the person coming in, how good it is for the country. I mean, you talk about job creation. You've created more businesses than most people who were born here three, four generations. So our hats off to you. And I suggest that everyone go see the Sacred Space, not meaning just on the highway see it, but actually get off the highway. It's located at 2594 Lily Avenue in Summerlin. So thank you so much, Jack and Rose, for being here today.
Oh, thank you, Neil.
Thank
and
you.
Diane. It was a pleasure.
And we'll be back next week with another edition of Money Talk.